Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And I'm your host, Craig Faye.
And this week it is audience choice, and you guys picked an absolute doozy, a humdinger of an episode. I'm so excited to talk about this movie. It's so unhinged. It's practical magic.
Yeah. Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman. Yeah.
Woo! This movie is wild.
Yeah, it is.
It's more, I watched it a few times when I was younger and a teen, like, you know what I mean? A young teen.
Yeah.
And I realized watching this movie, I was like, I remember nothing. I was like, I remember the aesthetic of this movie. I remember Sandra Bullock. I remember like tiny, tiny little plot points, but the overall, I was like, this movie is dark for a young teen to watch.
Oh, yeah. It's, I had the same experience too, where I was like kind of watching it and I was like talking to Kat. I was like, do they bring a man back to life? She's like, yeah. That's a part of it. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is nuts. Like this movie is, I realized it tries to be so many things, and this movie really does not know what it's actually about.
No, it doesn't. But there is a strong part of me that still really enjoyed watching it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing I took away from this was, like, I understand why this is an important movie for some people, mm-hmm. particularly women.
Oh, yes. Very feminist tones to it. Yes, of
like,
course.
Like, go get them, girls. Stick together. You got your sisters and all the rest. But I was just like, I think that's... There's a little bit of misogyny in that where it's just like, why was such a chaotic, poorly put together movie so important? Like, you should have a movie, you know what I mean? Like, you should have a better put together movie, but I understand when you have to pick from what you've got.
I mean, for this time period, incredible.
Yeah,
incredible.
Exactly.
Guys, if you haven't seen Practical Magic, okay, Practical Magic, we start... with I think the great like an ancestor, a great grandmother, who is like a witch. They're all witches, but she is like they try to hang her and she escapes. They're like, this is old, like back in the day. Everybody freaks the fuck out. They've got a really good scatter scene. Anyway, so she ends up on an island alone. She's pregnant. She waits for her lover to come. He never comes. So then she casts a curse on her own family. She's like, you know who needs to get fucked about this is my own family. Saying that any man that truly falls in love with an Owens woman will die of it, like a tragic death, essentially. So then Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman's parents, their dad dies a very tragic death, as is law for the curse. The mother dies of a broken heart. That is fact. In this, it's not like later you find out it was something different. It's like, no. She died of a broken heart. So then these two children go to their aunt's house, who are also witches. They learn how to do magic. They veer off into very different areas in life. Nicole Kidman gets into an abusive relationship because she's kind of a wild child. She gets out there. She wants to live life, experience things. Sandra Bullock just wants to be normal. She wants to be a normal woman. She doesn't like magic. No magic. And then her aunts cast a spell on her to fall in love. She falls in love with a man. They have children. And then he dies a very tragic death. Nicole Kidman gets smacked up by her lover, and then Sandy goes to rescue her. This guy is unhinged, like in the biggest way possible. Just terrifying as a character, quite frankly.
Yeah.
This man plays sleaze very well. My skin was crawling. What a horrifying man. Anyway. Essentially kidnaps the two women. They end up killing him and they bring him back to life because they don't want to be in trouble in the eyes of the law. Even though it seems like there would be 1,000 easier spells to cast, but that's fine. That's fine. We'll dive into that in a minute. They bring him back to life. He then takes over the body. They kill him again, and then they bury him. Yes, that's right. Sorry, pardon me. They kill him twice. They kill him twice. He then possesses Nicole Kidman's body, and they have to bring the community together to get to thrash him out. All while a cop is around. He is what Sandra Bullock has wished for. She can't lie to him. She's overcome by him, and they end up together in the end. And of course, they. Okay. Oh, there's
hearing it all laid out like that. I was just like, there's so much.
There's literally so much. Like, this is, I think you guys can attest to the fact that this is one of the longer. I like to keep it short and sweet on movie descriptions. Yeah. And this, there's no way you could go short and sweet on this. Too much happens.
It's like three different movies.
It is three different movies. There are so many tone switches. Like, hard.
Yeah.
Hard tone switches in this movie. But there's something I scream laughed so many times watching this movie last night. I don't know about you, Craig, but I had a lot of moments where I was like, I watched it with my roommate and I was just slapping her. Yeah. There were moments where I was just, she was doing work and I was watching this movie and I was just slapping her on the shoulder. I was like, you gotta pay attention to this. Like,
so much going on.
It is so insane. Anyway, guys, thank you, Patreon, or our patrons, for selecting this absolute jewel of a movie.
Yes, you got it right.
Oh, you got it so right. And guys, before we get into who we think the villain and villains are, we'd like to give a little shout out to our sponsor of the episode. This episode is brought to you by TeePublic.com. Guys, you know TeePublic.
Yeah, we love them. Guys, they've got tons and tons and tons of nerdy designs, all by independent artists, and like mashups, cool mashups, you know what I mean? Like the Calvin and Hobbes and Shaw is a fun one for that sort of thing. You can get these awesome designs on pretty much anything. Hoodies, t-shirts, phone cases, computer cases, notebooks, stickers, whatever you want to do. We have make sense of this movie here, our Magic Isn't Real, None of This Happened t-shirt, the Bill Most Right t-shirt is available there. You can get that on whatever you want. Yeah.
Yeah. We take requests, guys. We had a request earlier, and I think you might find it soon. I'm going to get that dress.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. No, I'm launching this on Craig right now. We haven't even talked about it. I'm so sorry. But yeah, guys, you can get all your nerdiest stuff. It really, all designs are made by indie artists, getting fair commission for their work. So when you buy a shirt from TeePublic, you're supporting indie artists, and that's, you know, as well as this podcast, obviously. So head on over to vwrstore.fromsuperheroes.com to check out all of our merch and favorite designs from TeePublic. That's vwrstore.fromsuperheroes.com, and thank you, TeePublic, for your support and for your continued support. And now it is time to talk about the villains of this movie. And if they're right, I think we're going to get pretty creative
So who did you peg as this? Like, there's one big one.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's Jimmy. And Jimmy deserves to die twice.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Jimmy deserves to die twice, and I will not hear otherwise.
I'm not going to argue that anything he did was right or that he's a good person, but I am willing to argue that there are some mitigating factors that go into this. Like, I will get into that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Craig.
But I think another villain in this movie, who I will argue 100% is right, is the town.
Yes. I have that down as well, of course.
Like, this town is completely justified in detesting these women.
Which you are a bitch. Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yes. They should be kicked out of town. They're a menace. I don't care for them.
No, I mean, they literally, they're literally for hire.
What do you mean?
Well, okay, I think the most, like one of the most obviously other than Jimmy. I think one of the most evil things of this movie is that, and it's a really quick scene. It's borderline nothing, but it's like so we've got young Sandy and Nicole Kidman. I'm just going to keep calling them Sandy and Nicole.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
sorry. It's Sally and Jillian Owens, but I just don't care. Okay. It's Sandra and Nicole.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't disappear into these roles.
I think Sandra Bullock kind of kills it in this movie, if you want my fucking real opinion. I think Nicole Kidman make some creative choices. So young Sandy and Nicole, they're sitting on the stairs and they're discovering that like this magic is actually quite real, because a neighbor, a townsperson, comes over, knocks on the door, and is like, I'm desperate. I wouldn't be here if I'm desperate. I need this guy to I can't sleep, I can't eat. Like, you have to make this guy fall in love with me. And they take a bird, and she has to like kill the bird.
Yeah.
But they do it because she pays them.
Yes.
She pays them.
And this is a married man too.
This is a married man. Like, this is like a morally like incorrect situation from jump. And yeah, they're literally witches for hire.
Sure.
So you actually at that moment have no moral compass. You're actively doing you. You're ruining this man's life potentially, probably.
Yeah.
You're ruining this man's life. You're pushing him in a direction that he wouldn't want to go.
Yeah.
Because this woman gave you slipped you a cool hundy or whatever it was. That immediately makes them insanely evil to me.
Yes. Yes. And this isn't just the aunts doing this. This is a pattern of behavior that goes all back to this original woman, right? The original thing.
Yes.
Because like in the voiceover or whatever, it's the aunts telling the story to the girls, and like she's being hung and she's like, it's probably because she's a witch, and it probably because she slept around, and probably didn't help that a lot of the wives of the men she slept with were on the hanging committee. And I was like, this is the story you're telling the children, right? This is the story you're telling the children. And I was just like, okay, you play pretty fast and loose with the sanctity of marriage kind of thing, you know?
No, it definitely, you're right. It starts there. And I can't believe she casts a curse on her own family.
Yeah. Well, it does kind of it's a backfire curse, I will say that. So I think she says, I never want to suffer the pain of love ever again.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, I think when you really do finally fall in love, like that's like you wish never to fall in love, so we're going to kill the guy you're in love with.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It's a very monkey paw sort of thing.
Well, yeah, because it's like you should have just made a curse like none of us can fall in love.
Yeah.
Like, you can't feel love in your heart or whatever.
Right,
or like,
right, right.
Or you can't feel love for a man or whatever the weird thing is. Not like, so you're going to experience this and then experience something worse right after.
The curse is so fucked up.
It is.
And one, there is, you can blame the Owens for this, because at the end of the movie, they're like, I don't know how we did it, but getting all those women together somehow broke the curse. Questionable if it did. I think that cop guy is probably on the chopping block. But two,
oh, yeah.
Two, you've got the kind of magic that can make people fall in love and the kind of magic that can bring a man back from the dead, like reanimating corpses.
Mm-hmm.
And not once in the many generations did anyone try and make an attempt to break this curse.
it's maybe not murder,
but it's certainly like manslaughter by negligence.
Yes, absolutely. It kind of reminds me of Ready or Not.
Okay.
You remember the movie Ready
or
Not?
Yeah, the bride,
like,
and the
It's like being like, you have to marry this person. It's like, okay, so you're bringing somebody into this potentially murderous situation.
Yes.
Just don't do this.
yes, certainly don't cast a spell to make them fall in love. Like, here's the thing.
Oh my God.
So the ants.
The ants are so wicked, actually.
Yes.
Like, I actively think they are hard villains in this movie.
So their justification of this is like, so we see Michael, the guy, he's like the grocery delivery guy. Like, he's, you know, good looking guy, like charming.
Yes.
They basically cast this spell. The clock strikes noon or whatever. Sandra Bullock just like jumps up out of a garden and running towards town. And we see him at the same time. And he like runs out in the street and he sees her and they run together. It's like, that's not a real thing. Like, that was a magic spell. How you would not be aware that, like, I have not even talked to this man before. Why are we suddenly in love? Maybe this is my fucking aunt's. Anyway, their excuse, when he dies, this is after they're married and they have a thing, where they go, and I'm going to paraphrase here, which is, no, Sandra Bullock. We didn't think you'd actually fall in love and thus trigger the curse where he dies. We just wanted you to get laid. Like,
yeah,
that's it.
They just want to give you a little push. And I'm like, they had 2 kids.
Yeah, like, maybe mention, like, hey, by the way, you can't fall in love with, don't fall too much in love with this guy, because that curse is fucking real.
Or undo the spell or something.
Right.
Do something. I gotta tell you, Sandra Bullock runs so much more than I ever expected her to run in this movie. She runs towards men.
Yes. She's literally running.
Running. It's all running, and it makes me laugh so fucking hard. Watching two people run at each other down the street when they don't know each other is hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, oh, they're going to run in. They're going to headbutt. They're going
to... Yeah. And they really, like, try to say... They're like, the music will save this.
Yeah. This is an unhinged thing to do. And also, okay, I think you'll appreciate this, right? You know when you first start dating somebody, right?
Yes.
And there's like... You've got to feel each other out. Like,
yeah.
Like, you're not quite sure... Like, physically how you mesh, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Where it's like the most innocent example is, do you go right or left when you kiss, right? You got to do the head tilt.
Yes.
And we've all had that awkward thing where, like, no blame. Like, everyone just went the wrong way and it's bad. Or,
yeah,
like, you're just trying to figure that out. I can't imagine trying to pull off a run down the road and jump into each other's arms, having no experience with this person at all. Like, you know, that's not a beginner's move.
No, it's not.
That's like trying to do the dirty dancing lift your first date. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You need to know.
I don't know if they were playing, like, this kiss when it was going on. Maybe.
Yeah, that is a
maybe
good song.
Yeah. That song had a hold on 90s movies. It had a hold. Yeah. Oh, my God.
The soundtrack to this is played, like, a couple decibels higher than
yes,
be.
Of
like,
course.
They, like, cranked the soundtrack to this, and they're like, we're going to make so much money off of the Practical Magic CD.
Did you even kiss if this kiss wasn't playing? Did it even happen?
No. Truly, Madly, Deeply would be the one. Ooh. Other one. Yeah, yeah. I think you only kissed in the 90s if this kiss or Truly, Madly, Deeply. Those are my
so
two.
So insane.
Let us know what your 90s you aren't making out unless that song is on. So I'll just say this. The other really nasty thing about this curse and these women is, like, the men die. And that's tragic. And it's always framed as it's an accident. Like, Michael gets hit by a truck that's following way too close behind a cycling thing. Like, the cycle race goes by, and he's like, whew, and then a truck hits him.
Yeah.
That truck was following inches behind those cyclists.
Do you know, and it's like the main street on a small town.
On an
this
island.
This guy's just fucking humming along. Just absolutely going for a rip.
Full negligence there. But it's also the Owens girls refuse to leave town. The family has just set up roots here, which means that every man that they are falling in love with is from that island. The townspeople, it's their brothers, their cousins, their you know, their friends, their relatives. These women kill every man that dates them or they fall in love with for generations. Like, and for these townspeople, magic doesn't exist, right? Like, they're just like, they're kind of witches, but like that, mm-hmm. they're just kind of being mean and like folksy about it. The townspeople don't believe in magic. They just think that these women are legitimately ending up killing their husbands somehow.
Absolutely. And could attempt to kill others.
Yes.
Like, literally, when Nicole Kidman goes into that that PTA meeting.
Oh, well, she has no business there, was it? She doesn't have kids in this school. What are you doing? No.
She's like, I'm here to see my sister. Like,
so hold on to your husbands, everybody. That's why everyone hates you on this island.
Yes. A little honey, if we could. That is so aggressive. And I understand that it's like, oh, okay, you feel like you're... Well, like, literally, these children threw rocks at them when they were children.
There's a history, for sure.
There's a history there, absolutely. But there's something to say you might be egging this on a bit. Hold on to your husbands is pretty aggressive.
Yeah, we're literally going through a parents' meeting right now where we're deciding who's going to call who in case of a snowstorm or a bus strike or something like that. You know, if there's an emergency and we need to get the word out quickly, who calls who? This is what this meeting's about. And then the sister, who doesn't have kids, who doesn't live on the island anymore, walks in and it's like, I'm going to fuck your husbands. You're like, why is this the energy you're bringing to this?
It's the middle of the afternoon. Jillian, it's the middle of the afternoon. That's such an inappropriate.
Oh, so inappropriate.
So funny.
And then she casts some magic so her sister is top of this phone tree.
And I gotta tell you, I'm sorry, and no offense, but that I think that's just a really sad thing to want so badly.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And we see later on why maybe she wasn't put in charge of it earlier. Because you're like, well, this is a weird detail of this movie. Why do we have a whole scene dedicated to she gets all the phone numbers of all these other women? And then we find out later when they need to exorcise the ex-boyfriend out of her. And I understand this is a metaphor for women coming together.
Absolutely.
You know, and all the rest. I understand the metaphor. But in reality, what happened there is she used a phone contact system for the bus drivers are on strike or it's a snow day or that sort of thing, and called everyone up, is like, so my sister has a bad boyfriend. If I got that call as a parent, I would be like, why the fuck are you calling?
I don't know.
This is for emergencies. What are you talking about?
There is something to say, and I do agree with you, but like I will answer that. I will answer that call to action every time.
Yeah.
Even if you're a stranger, it's like, I've got a bad boyfriend. I need help. I'm on my way. I can't. It's irresistible. You need to help out that situation for sure. These townspeople, I think, have every right to hate these women. Like, the daughter casts a chicken pox spell on the kid.
Yeah. Which, I don't know how much that's magic.
I think they all took it real serious.
They did. The townspeople did.
The townspeople did, and Sandra Bullock did, which makes me feel like it at least has the potential to work.
For sure. I'm just saying what we know about chickenpox. This is what, 96, 97? When did this movie come out? Anyway, late 90s. By that point, like, the chickenpox vaccine existed, right? But for the most part, like, I think you and I were probably of the generation where you had chickenpox.
Oh, I still have a mark on my face.
Right, exactly. Right?
I had chickenpox real bad.
So my point being that if, like, 1996, 1998, whenever this movie came out, if you're a child of, like, 10 years old and you haven't had chickenpox and then you caught it, it would be like, well, you were due. You know, like, everyone got it was the thing, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be like, the witch gave you chicken pox. You'd be like, oh, the disease that everybody gets as a child because we don't have widespread vaccination of it yet. Yeah. I'm saying that kid was just due for chicken pox.
I like that. That's okay.
But I see how the townspeople would be pissed about it.
Yes.
It's like insult to injury. You know what I mean? It's like, I hope you get in a car accident and then someone does. And you're like, you didn't cause that car accident, but like, you feel shitty about it now.
I also, okay, and I will say this. I understand why these women don't leave, though, because that house is the greatest house of all time. I think the aesthetic of that, I think that house really pulls it together. I gotta be honest with you. It's a very witchy house. I know, I'm pretty sure anybody that has watched this movie, I feel, I'm gonna make a stand. Anybody that has watched this movie wants that little greenhouse room on the side, that big kitchen. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I would never leave.
There is something real nice about a greenhouse.
Oh, my God.
Like, you go in there and it's a little hot or it's a little humid. Like, especially in the winter, like, kind of clears up your sinuses a little bit. It's a little fresher, the air, because all the plants are in there. You know what I mean?
I want it.
Yeah.
I want it so bad.
Terrible for your house, but with, like, moisture getting in it and all the rest.
Oh, I don't care.
It's real bad for the structure to have an attached greenhouse, but yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're ruining my... What? Oh, no. What if you had, like, a real, like, a good sealed door or something?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a way to make it.
But you're ruining my dreams, Craig.
Sorry, there's probably a way to make it work. It's not impossible.
God
it's damn not, it. It's not magic. You can definitely make that happen for yourself.
They
yes.
probably have some sort of magic.
Oh, yeah. Like a magic, magic vapor barrier. Yeah.
You know what one of my favorite parts of this movie is? And it's just because, and I think I noticed everything way more this time around. The hard switch from we just murdered a man twice to midnight margaritas.
Oh, I wrote that down. What is happening?
That is such a switch in tone. It makes me laugh. I scream laughed when they were both like, oh my God, midnight margaritas.
Yes. And here's the thing. You've been around death too much. Too many men have died in like
yes.
you I understand that Jimmy quote unquote deserved it. Like he's a bad man.
Oh yeah.
You did
put
what
him
you,
in the ground.
You did what you had to do, but you gotta feel a little bit of remorse. You know what I mean? You gotta be like Just even.
No, but I feel like they did for a minute. And that's why it was such a hard. It was like.
But even if it's not remorse for him, it's remorse for what the innocence that you have lost. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh God, I'm the kind of person who can murder a man now. Like, I know that about myself. You should be deeply disturbed by that for a period of time. Longer than midnight margaritas.
Midnight margaritas.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they end up drinking some of his tequila. And like,
it's like
they start freaking out. And then we get to a point, and this is something else that I think is so fucked up for the ants to do. So right after they were like, oh, we can smell there's something bad going on here. We're out. And it's like, what? They bounce out immediately. They tie a piece of string on the two little girls as if PTSD doesn't exist. As if seeing something horrifying won't bother them at all. As young girls. Here's your string. This will protect you. We're out. Clean up your own messes. You have, as two women, you have created so many messes you have not cleaned up very clearly.
Oh, making your niece fall in love with a man she has a family with and then dooming that man to death because you're like, you just need to get it?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
That's a hard problem.
Okay, and another thing I want to talk about with the ants is I don't think one of them's a biological ant.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Okay. Because there's like, they sort of established this pattern with this family, right?
Okay.
Where it's like, there's always two daughters.
Yes.
Right. Okay. There's like the redhead one who's like kind of fiery and whatever.
Okay.
And like the brown haired one who's more like bookish or whatever.
Okay.
And what we've established, we see the mother. We see the mother of Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman, right? She's the fiery redhead one.
Yes.
Has a family. Husband dies of a broken heart. They go to live with their aunts.
Mm-hmm.
One of those aunts, they're lesbians is the thing, right? So they're married.
Okay,
that's just what I'm saying because I think the one Aunt Frances, Rizzo, is is because she mentions at the top, oh, it's like my poor Edward or something. I forget the name, but mm-hmm. like clearly there was a man that she was dating or was married to who died. Okay. And then I think they just shacked up and they're like, this is the only way to do this. Right?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That may, yeah, okay.
Because I think they always come in twos because they were twos. She has two daughters. Mm. Every generation, there's two.
I like it.
Yeah. I'm just saying. So, because otherwise, one sister dies, the other's still alive.
Yes.
There's not three sisters.
Ha. Huh.
Yeah.
Look at that.
I'm willing to be proven wrong. But I think
I'm willing to be proven.
I think that's the only way that like you can really have a relationship with this curse.
True. Loophole.
And also, I'm just going to say, if you need to have magic cast on you to fall in love with a man, maybe.
It is. Whoop, there it is. Absolutely.
But I also love the connection of like, this is so wrong. Because the ants are like, when they're kids, they go, well, why doesn't she have to do magic? Talking about Nicole Kidman's character mm-hmm. as a young kid. And they're like, oh, she's going to get her magic soon enough. Wink, wink. Like being like, oh, her magic is that she's a seductress is basically what it is. Like,
Jesus Christ.
No, that's about, but they like say as much, right? They're like, we know the red, like, there's the book one and then there's the sex one. Every generation, we know how that's going to go.
Same for this podcast.
Yeah.
There's the book one and then there's the sex one.
There's just the one who needs to get it. But like, this is the thing that they say about a child. You know what I mean? Like, this child is going to grow. Like, I hate the word, but this child is going to grow up to be a slut.
Ew.
Like, it's kind of, yeah, like. Yeah.
Ew, I hate it.
Sorry.
Oh, no, that's not. She is expressing herself.
No, absolutely. Yes. yes, I don't fully support that. She got in with a bad dude. That's not her fault.
No, that is absolutely not her fault. Okay, guys. And before we continue on, we would like to thank our sponsor of this podcast. We would like to thank Active Threads. If you are tired of buying the same old activewear, if you're tired of that same, you know, that puffer black jacket you keep seeing, same vest, that neutral sports bra, if you want like exciting, cool clothes to work out in, you guys have to check out Active Threads. They have so many great products to buy, and they also support so many amazing missions, such as like social justice, community wellness, combating climate change, and more. You can buy leggings, jackets, sports bras, tank tops, backpacks, camping gear, base layers. Like, you can buy so many amazing things, and they're just so cool. I love to dress up to go to the gym. I'm a bit of a look at me, maybe. I don't know. I love it. So, guys, if you want to hit up Active Threads, we've got a great promo code for you.
Yeah, so when you shop at Active Threads, not only are you guaranteed to find something you'll love, but you're also supporting a small business. Head on over to activethreads.com and use promo code VILLAIN15 to get 15% off of your order. That's activethreads.com, and don't forget to use promo code VILLAIN15 to get 15% off your order. That's activethreads.com, and don't forget to use promo code VILLAIN15 for 15% off your order. Thank you very much, Active Threads.
Okay, and now I want to talk about the most ridiculous store in this whole town.
All right.
We need to touch on it.
Yeah.
How does that store have three employees?
Oh, too many employees. I was like, well, yeah, I had the same thought. I was like, what are you all doing?
Yes. It's the same. I love that they never discussed it. They were like, we need to introduce these two women. They need to be a part of this. So they have Sandra has some friends, you know what I mean? She has some people to talk to. And like, it's just two women stacking jars like in the same spot. Every time you go back to the store, she's on the same, one of them's on the same ladder, one of them's doing the other thing in the tiniest store I've ever seen.
In a small island town.
In a small island town. How much product could this woman be moving?
I don't understand. Like, I guess like, she is making them on site. Yeah.
There's a certain amount of tourism, I'm sure. But three employees, and then she's like, then she brings in her sister. She's like, if you're going to work here, you better do some work. And it's like, well, what could she possibly be doing?
Talking to the no customers who are currently in the store. Oh, in terms of scheduling, that drove me crazy. I was like, I understand. You know, the shipment comes in on a Tuesday. You need an extra pair of hands to unpack a box and do inventory while someone. I get that. But three people just in the middle of a day, nowhere where there's no customers. I understand there's going to be a weekend rush. I understand all of that. Just like you're staffing this improperly.
It's so wild.
And also just like the stuff that she makes like. What was that one guy? He's like, this shampoo doesn't work. And she's like, you put it on your dick is basically what she was saying. Like, he forgot that it was like dick lotion and not shampoo. like, does this stuff affect your memory? Like, what is... what is this store, you know?
Yes. No, it's... he leaves so embarrassed like he's the problem.
Yeah. It's and am I correct in saying that it was hair growth shampoo that you put on your dick?
Yes.
Okay.
You are absolutely correct.
Oh, my God. Okay.
That man was looking for full bush. Okay. He wants women to forage for his dick.
I didn't even interpret it like that. I just interpreted it as like, it'll help your hair grow if you rub it on your dick. Like, it's just.
Oh, I thought he was looking for some.
Okay,
some
fair enough. Fair enough.
Some beautiful curlies. Who's I just thought.
Who's to say?
Sorry, I'm really good. Craig's face is. Your face is hilarious. I am just. I'm so sorry.
So much. So, should we talk about Jimmy?
Of course, we have to talk about Jimmy. He's the main villain. He's so bad. He is. You can't defend this man.
No. So he. So he kidnaps them. He tries to brand Jillian, like,
which
with
is something he's done before to a different woman before he killed her.
Yes, yeah. So we learn later in the movie that this was like a real bad dude, like crazy obsessive. What I will say, I'm not going to defend him, but the one mitigating factor here,
okay,
because when Sandra Bullock goes to like rescue her, he's going a little nuts. Like he's clearly off his rocker. Jillian, Nicole Kidman, has been low-dose poisoning him for months.
That is factual. Yeah. That is very factual.
Because she's like, we fuck so much that I need to basically lace his drinks with belladonna, which is a low-grade poison, as we learn. The thing that does end up killing him.
Yes.
Every night so he'll fall asleep. I was like, first of all, that's nuts. You're fucking way too much.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that. Absolutely. Yeah.
And you know, I don't know what that does to you long term. It can't be good. Like if it's a poison.
No. And I think we would be able to have a stronger argument if he hadn't killed someone prior.
Previously.
To,
yes.
Because then you could argue madness. You could be like, oh, well, he was getting low-dose poisoned.
For
but
months.
It's like if anybody needed to be low-dose poisoned for a while, it's this motherfucker for sure. They do such a good job of picking just the creepiest man.
Yeah.
Everything about him is disgusting. When he puts the blindfold or like the tie over her eyes and is like, and it's supposed to be this like sexy thing. Do you know what I mean? When they first get together.
Okay.
She's like looking at him across the, she's, and I'm sorry, that dancing scene made me scream laugh. It makes me feel so uncomfortable. I don't know if it's just me. I'm like, there's nothing sexy about this to me. It is deeply uncomfortable. It made me laugh so hard. And then she's like, you know, eyeing him up. She's like, oh my God, it's Jimmy. The Dracula cowboy.
Is that how she describes him, Dracula cowboy?
I think so. Okay, at one point, my brain made that up. No, I think she calls him like a Dracula cowboy, or somebody does. Anyway, the Dracula cowboy. I've never heard of a less attractive combination of words in my life. And then he puts the tie over her eyes, and it's like, ooh, Jimmy. And I was like, I don't know. I make terrible decisions all the time. Okay, one of my friends recently told me my pussy should be under conservatorship. Okay. And even I would absolutely, it's a no. It's an absolutely not. Sorry, I broke Craig.
What an absolutely unhinged thing to say. You need to tell me later which of your friends. Conservatorship. Oh boy. All right. but hard no on that guy.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely not. Yeah, yeah. A hard no. No one has deserved to die twice more than this man.
Yeah.
Although that did make me laugh really hard that they kill him a second time immediately. Like, they just bring him back and they're like, oh, fuck no, fuck no, fuck no.
Yeah, they kill him immediately, like, yes, with a frying pan, which also begs the question, like, there was no reason for them to have the scene where they bring him back to life. They could have just been like, we'll bury him in the front yard and be done with it.
Oh, no, I think the thing was kill him twice.
Yeah, yeah.
He deserved to die twice.
Yeah, possibly even three times when they exercise him.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
A lot of him dying. Mm-hmm, yeah, he's not a real good villain. He's not a defendable villain at all.
No, not even a lot. And I think that's why you guys picked
But we were like, no, it's the town. The town
it's
is
the
right.
Town. The town is right.
Yeah.
These women should leave, and they're also all kind of low key evil a bit.
Yeah.
Honestly, I.
And we do need to talk about the inspector or whatever.
Of course,
for a quick minute.
We do.
The kind of the love interest of this story that shows up in the third act, and you're like, again, what is this movie about? Is it about killing a man and trying to cover it up? Is it about getting over the grief of your dead husband? Is it about finding a community of women? Is it about getting out of abusive relationships? Is it about the difficulties of parenting as a single parent? Is it about like how magic binds you? Yes. The answer is yes to all of those things.
The answer is yes. And I love how they tie it all in. And they're like, it was the power of the sisters that broke the curse.
It's like, did they break the curse? Because I don't think they did. What is your view on that? Do you think they broke the curse?
I don't know. I question whether there even is really a curse.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's kind of like we have two examples. No, three. Three examples of this happening, and I'm just, I don't know. I don't know if there's a curse or not. I honestly, I don't, this is going to sound crazy. I don't know if I care.
Yeah.
I don't know, because it's like, these women, I feel like they cast spells on men.
Right.
And it's like, maybe that's just the cost of casting a spell on a man. That they just, there's an expiration date.
Or maybe all the cholesterol of the men on this island is through the roof.
Because they keep eating brownies for breakfast.
Yeah. Oh, true. Yeah, go back to the ants. No bedtimes, brownies for breakfast. True villains.
Yes, absolutely.
You can't raise children that way.
Leave at the first sight of danger.
Yeah, you can't.
They're like,
raise
I'm out, and then they come back. They're like, oh,
looks like we arrived just in time,
and it's like you didn't need to leave.
We needed you out of the picture.
Just in time would have been 3 days ago.
Yeah. Yeah. We need you out of the picture because you're actually competent enough to stop this.
Yes.
So we just need a reason for you to be gone is kind of the screenwriting version of this. But this detective is so insanely bad at his job. I cannot stress how bad he is.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up. Okay. He's investigating the disappearance of Jimmy.
Yes.
He shows up. They immediately start acting suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
He finds Jimmy's car in their driveway. They give him some story about like, oh, we took it to get away from him, which isn't wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, well, I guess you guys are probably fine. He asks her directly, did you or your sister have anything? Did you kill him? And she goes, well, I didn't kill him. You can't be fucking coy. And like slippery with your words when you're being asked about a man's murder. You know what I mean? Rebecca, did you kill that man?
No.
What are you talking about? Not, well, I didn't kill him. Oh! And he's like, what a mystery. How could I possibly get to the bottom of such clever wordplay? I never really lied to you. I just insinuated that I didn't kill. Like, fuck off. It wasn't me that killed him. It was the poison that killed him. Like,
so the reason why, well, why this man is here is because he was so attracted to the letter.
What we find
out later, right?
Because of a previous spell where she wished for a man who can flip pancakes and has one blue eye, one green eye. Yeah.
When she was a child, she was like, "I'm going to make up this man that doesn't exist. So I'll never fall in love because he doesn't exist. And then I'll never have to go through this pain and what have you. And then she finds out he does exist. And then they have this scene, and I think it's very important, where she says, like, we'll never know if it's the spell or not.
Right.
And then they just both decide it doesn't matter.
And obviously it is the spell because there's no way that he's that incompetent. So
I wished for you too. It's like
but there is a scene. And again, I cannot stress this enough. The pretense, you're right. He's there because of the spell. But the pretense is, again, he's investigating a murder. And he goes, first of all, Jillian tries to poison him with syrup. The girls grab it and throw it in the ocean.
And he goes, what was in that syrup?
And then he says, you girls had better get some like legal representation because you are in deep, deep trouble. And he goes back. And once again, Sandra Bullock runs to him and is like, there's like a confession scene where he's like, I told you, you need a lawyer.
Yeah,
I am a police officer.
I am trying so hard to help you.
Please help me. And she goes, I don't need a lawyer. I just want to tell you. And she says, and I quote, he's been punished. He's in the spirit realm. Jillian didn't kill him, as she did. And he says, I'll do anything to protect you. She has all but admitted to murder. Like, like there is no investigation or no detective work in the country where you have somebody in the interrogation room and they go, well, Jillian didn't kill him. I have a feeling he's been punished. He's in the spirit realm. And you're just going like, well, carry on that. No, you're going to ask a few more questions. And his response to this is they make out. And I was just like, this is all over the place bad. She is an admitted murderer, is what you're saying. Whether he deserves it or not, this woman has just admitted to killing a man.
Yes. And it's still on because it's Sandra Bullock, baby.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if this will affect the case, me having a sexual relationship with the main suspect. Jesus.
I just love how much she runs at men in this movie. It's a lot of fun.
It is.
Watching her run down the street. Like, it's literally my favorite.
It's
I love it.
The runtime's a little short, Sandra. Do another lap.
Yeah, could you? Want to see those legs working?
Yeah.
Do you have anything else?
No, other than magic isn't real, none of this happened.
None of this happened.
They're just murdering.
They're just. This is all in their heads.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
All right, guys, it is time for our rankings of the villain. What do you got for us, Craig?
Yeah, so I've got the sort of like angry villager scale. Okay, so like on a scale from a zoning committee meeting, pretty low stakes, pretty tame, you know, all the way up to torches and pitchforks. We're full on Frankensteining this. I'm going to give the townspeople a protesting because a Walmart is coming to town. They have every right to be pissed because lives are being ruined.
Jesus Christ. Okay, I've got the alcohol at certain hours scale.
Oh, midnight
margarita.
Love it.
So 11 from 11 a.m. Caesars, a staple, to a pint and a shot at last call.
Also a staple.
I'm gonna rank Jimmy a 5 a.m. Jaeger bomb and a line of coke. Most likely kill you in a terrible fucking decision. What a bad villain.
Yeah, he's real bad.
He's real bad.
Defending the townspeople.
And guys, before we get to our heroes and villains of the week, as always, there's a couple ways you can help out the podcast. If you would like to follow us, you can follow us on Twitter at VWR Podcast. If you would like to email us, you can email us at villainwasright@gmail.com. If you want to send us your suggestion, this was a suggestion. I don't know who suggested it, but you are diabolical. Okay, you are awesome. So you can send your suggestions there, your stories, whatever you'd like. And you can hit us up on Facebook at Villain Was Right. Obviously, if you're still on Facebook, if Twitter hasn't collapsed by this point. And if you have a couple of bucks.
Yeah, absolutely. We're on Patreon, patreon.com/thevillainwasright. If you're unfamiliar with Patreon, what it is, it's a monthly subscription service where you get to support the artists that you like. And hopefully that's us. And in exchange, you get all kinds of awesome benefits. So as we mentioned, this is our audience choice episode. So every month, our patrons get to vote on what episode we're doing the next month. So they voted. It was this one. It beat out two other ones that I can't remember right now. They might also be good episodes. So have your say in what we do. And we also, at the $1 level, if you just have $1 and you want to get ad-free episodes, same episodes, just no ads, you can get that by supporting us at patreon.com/thevillainwasright. And thank you to everyone who's already a patron. And thank you to all the people who are new patrons this month. We love you guys. And now it is time for our heroes and villains of the week. I've got I guess it ties into the midnight margaritas nice. Thing a little bit. Hey, a little dovetail there. I like this. So this is a mild villain. But basically, I'm not currently drinking right now. Mm-hmm. So I was at the bar and I had this drink in my hand and it was small. And this other comedian, who I won't name because it's not important, comes up to me and she goes like, "Oh my God, look at that tiny little glass you've got there. Look at this, like, oh my God, that's such a small beer. That's such a small beer. That's so funny. Where did you even get that?" And she's sort of making this big scene in front of people about how small my glass is. And like another comic there was just like, "Well, I mean, that's a half pint, right?" And she's like, "Oh my God, like, how would you even order that?" And just making this like big scene and all the rest. And I just turned to her and I was like, "Do you want to know what's actually up with this?" She's like, "Yeah, absolutely." I was like, "Well, I'm not drinking right now. I ordered a non-alcoholic beer from the bar, but so I wouldn't call attention to myself, I had them put it in a glass just so I wouldn't call attention to myself." And she just like, her face just dropped and was like, "Oh no, I'm so sorry," because she was making the biggest scene about it. And that's just kind of my mild villain of the week. I just thought it was so funny that try not to make call attention to it was like the one thing that did draw attention to it.
I love it.
Yeah.
For my hero, I'm going to do a hero this week. My hero of the week is New York. I had literally the best time. I love New York so much. I did something I don't normally do, and I'm just going to highly recommend it. This is what I'm going to recommend to the people. I went to a concert by myself. I've never done that before, and I really, really, really enjoyed it. I'm trying to do more stuff by myself that I just want to do, and I'm like, I'm just going to go. I don't need permission. I do whatever I want. Having a real eat, pray, love thing over here. It's going well. And I went to see GZA live in concert. He's one of my all-time favorites. It was him performing with a live band. It was absolutely incredible. I had the fucking had the greatest time of all time. Anyway, and so that's just a quick little one this week, guys. Just like Jizza rocks. I had so much fun. Go to a concert by yourself. It's awesome. Although I gotta tell you, I was one of 10 women. I was one of 10 women at that event. I gotta tell you, I was surprised by how bro heavy it was. I was like, everywhere I looked, I was like, it looked like there was just dozens of improv troops everywhere. It was so weird.
It's a good burn.
But it was absolutely awesome, guys. Go to a concert by yourself if you want to. Fuck it. And that's it. Guys, as always, you can follow me at Rebecca Reads on any platform of your choosing.
Yeah, and you can follow me at Craig Faye Comedy on Facebook, Twitter, CraigFaye.com for show dates. I've got a few coming up in November and December, so check that out. And yeah, absolutely. And check out my new comedy album. It's out now. Performance Review. It's still out and it's still good. So give a listen to that. And guys, that does it for us this week on the podcast. Make sure you tune in next week where we're kind of continuing with a small little magical theme here. We're doing Enchanted. Disenchanted is out.
That's a different vibe, though. That's a hard different vibe.
Same magic, different vibe. Yes. We're doing Enchanted next week, so make sure you turn in for that. And this is The Villain Was Right, reminding you to break that curse and stop killing men.
The Villain Was Right is produced by Andrew Ivamy as part of the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as webcomics, articles, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.